Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the beautiful city of Angels, Los Angeles, California. Let's dig in, shall we? The Texans won again last night. Houston continues to run roughshod over their division after a terrible start to the season. Thanks in no small part to the Indianapolis Colts deciding that, you know, we could tie, but we prefer to lose. That's what happened when they were 0-3. They've proceeded to win that game, run off 8 consecutive wins, and now they're 8-3. And the question is, how good are they? And the answer is, if you ever wondered what the Texans would look like with competent quarterback play, here you go, right? They got Lamar Miller, 12 carries, 162 yards. They got Deshaun Watson, who also had 9 carries for 70 yards. And he threw the ball only 24 times, completed 19 of them, 2 touchdowns, nary an interception. I just wanted to say nary to sound a little highfalutin. Nary an interception. But if this, hey, is Deshaun Watson great? The answer is no. Is he bad? The answer is no. But Deshaun Watson is pretty much what you always thought he would be, which is he's a great leader. Guys just like him. And that is a part of the quantitation, right? That is a part of the quantitation is the word I'm looking for, right? Like if you're, it's 1 plus 2 plus or A plus B plus C plus D equals Z. Right? If Z is the good quarterback, he's at least part of the quantitation in terms of personality. He has it. He has an it factor. And if you think, well, that doesn't really play a part, if it's just, dude, Jay Cutler can throw a football. But everyone who played with Jay Cutler seemed to hate Jay Cutler. And you can tell me, no, they didn't, but I can tell you that when he was in Chicago, they took his locker and had him dress outside the locker room because they didn't like him. Part of, you have to get guys to play for you and play with you. And he has that. But man, does he run a lot. And he's been hurt twice already. And when we saw him stay in the pocket during his senior year in college, he showed that he's not perfect. And when we've seen him stay in the pocket in the NFL, he's not perfect. But when you let him do both, he's pretty amazing. The problem with doing both is it just doesn't have a long shelf life, right? He still doesn't really slide. He still doesn't really avoid contact. Here's what Deshaun Watson is. What makes you will in fact break you, even when it's something amazing. It's Kobe. It's the Kobe Bryant factor. Kobe Bryant was such an alpha, had such an incredible mentality in terms of believing that he could do anything on a basketball court and no one could stop him, that it made him really hard to live with. And it made it so that he could never take a secondary or even tertiary or worse role with the Lakers because, hey, look, if you want to play with Kobe Bryant, you got to understand he wants to take those shots even when he can't make those shots. What made Kobe Bryant great made him so hard to deal with late in his career. What makes Deshaun Watson incredible makes it hard to buy in long-term to Deshaun Watson, even if what makes him incredible in the short term will play until he gets hurt. There's no such thing in life. I have a friend who's an agent. Right? We all in this business have agents. And he's like, tell me this 60-year-old agent. There isn't one. It's just a young man's game. Got to get on a plane. You got to go to dinners. You got to have drinks. You got to schmooze. You got to have great energy. Like once you get past 50, like feels like it's over. right? Feels like it's over. It's the same with running quarterbacks, athletic quarterbacks. And before you sit there and go, Doug, that's a connotation for the black quarterback. No. Steve Young. Steve Young liked to run around a lot. Steve Young's career was cut short. But Steve Young is arguably the greatest mobile quarterback in the history of the sport. And so, do I think Deshaun Watson's great? No, I think he's great at what he does and fun to watch. But no matter how many rules they put in place to try and protect quarterbacks, they can only protect you inside that pocket. At some point, mobile quarterbacks have to go out into the real world and can't protect you from the real world anymore. Right? Quarterbacks are a lot like private school kids or parents that don't have suites in their house. Our first house, when we moved to Connecticut, I was 26 years old, got a job at ESPN, and we just bought our first house in Oklahoma City a year before. I'd done local radio for a year, done games for a year, got offered a job, went back and played in France for a month and a half, came home, got offered a job after doing the NBA draft on ESPN Radio, and got offered a job up there. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. And I never forget that there was three girls that lived next door to us, and we were kind of like, trying to be like uncles and aunts, you know, my wife and I. We had no kids. We had two dogs. And our dogs were allowed to go down to their house, and their kids could come up and hang out at our house. And so they didn't feel like they had to have a babysitter sometimes because we were just around, and we were frankly in wanting to have kid mode, and we just like having kids. And they would come into our house and go through our cabinets like little rats for candy and sweets and anything that was a treat. Why? Because their parents limited them. And it's the lesson that all parents learn is like, look, it doesn't mean that you want to crack a beer with your kid or have shots with your kids. But if you completely shut them off to the real world, eventually the real world will find them. And when they get to the real world, you can't protect them from them. You got to teach them how to handle the real world. Well, that's the same thing with the running quarterback. Like, the thing I've learned here in the last week is confirmation that scouting reports are mostly accurate. Can guys improve? Yes. Hell yes. They become... have a higher football IQ. They can learn to work harder, to work smarter, all that stuff. But like, look, I watched Geno Smith play the fourth quarter for the Chargers. I was like, God, he was awful. And then I go back and I remember Nolan O'Rourke writing a scouting report that was dead to rights accurate. Baker Mayfield, who I told Colin Cowherd last year, like, I like, dudes love playing for him, but he has this thing where he feels like he has to engage in every fight. He's basically got little man syndrome. He's got to engage in every fight. On the field, off the field, doesn't matter. He never stands down. He always engages. And that can rub people the wrong way. Josh Rosen, if you've heard any of his quotes, you've been around him, he just has this way about him where he's really smart, he's really talented. But man, I don't know if he leads the locker room because he knows he's really smart, really talented. And Deshaun Watson went where he went in the draft, not because he doesn't have that it factor, but because within the pocket, he's okay. Outside of the pocket, he's magical. But outside of the pocket is like the real world. We can't manage how many candy bars you eat in the real world. When that private school kid goes to college, we can't manage how late you stay up or if you eat right or if you study. You're on your own. And you tell me where there's an old mobile quarterback. They don't exist. And here's a guy two knee injuries in who still can be magical. And I do believe gives the Texans an honest shot at winning the AFC. Honest shot. Because they've had a defensive front for years. Now they have a running game. You know, they got Nuke. They have a good wide receiver. Like, but they had Andre Johnson. They've had Arian Foster. They've had a defense. The difference is they have competent quarterback play and a guy with an it factor that you want to get behind. But long-term buy-in, when you're better out of the pocket than you are in the pocket in the NFL, that's cool, that's fun, that doesn't last for a long time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I mentioned that today is Tuesday of Giving. No one knows that better than Lane Johnson. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You do touchdowns for Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, right, Lane?
Yes, sir. So it's basically for every touchdown scored this season, donations will go to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, something I've been doing the past couple of years and just overall for a great cause.
Here's the part that has never been brought up. I don't understand why you didn't get to throw the Philly special in the Super Bowl. Like, people who know Lane Johnson, when you got to Oklahoma, you were a quarterback. How come you don't get to throw the pass on Philly special?
I think it's because, since playing line, I like to cast my thumbs up. So, a lot of people get their thumbs broke or hands messed up if they don't tape or heavily spat their hands. So that's probably why I don't. But if I can take that off, though, I could get it done.
I know you can get it done. I was half messing with you. Lane Johnson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You're a guy that can dish it out, but you can also take it. So I know guys have been tweaking you about, hey, we have more fun here with New England. When you're playing this year in the league, what's the general reaction to your comments that you made during the offseason?
Nothing really. I just feel like I've made a lot of people angry, and I still make them angry every time they hear it. Just nonstop tweets, nonstop this. So I feel like I've done my job.
Is it in fact different when you're the champion? Like the Shakespearean quote is, "Heavy is the head that wears the crown." Is it heavier? Is it harder? Is it less fun when you're the defending champ instead of scrapping to try and win that championship?
The season hasn't gone as planned, but as far as where we're at, it's anybody's game. So as far as that's concerned, we have everything in front of us. Not really concerned with last year. It was great to win it, but it also, I think you have to focus in a little bit harder on the next season due to you're playing a harder schedule, and by design, it's meant for you to not do as well.
Yeah, look, on paper, last year you had those injuries. Carson obviously didn't play in the playoffs or late in the season in the Super Bowl. On paper, you guys should have been better. So why is it? Is it simply a more difficult schedule, or why is it that it's been more difficult for you guys?
Well, it's that, and I think there's 19 people gone, from last year's team to this team. So, it makes a little bit of difference. You got a quarterback coming off an ACL injury. Only his, second, third year in the league. And so he's still developing, still trying to come back from that. New parts on the O-line. So, as far as that's concerned, I think, hopefully we can reach our peak towards the end of the season and really come on strong and try to continue what we did last game for us, having a balanced attack.
We as outsiders, Lane Johnson, tackle, Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champions, joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. A huge comeback win over the New York Giants this past weekend, 25-22. As outsiders, we look and we go like, hey, not only did they lose guys, but you lost some of that offensive, some of the offensive brain trust, right? You got one guy goes and gets a head coaching job, another guy goes and, Frank Reich's doing a great job in Indy, and then another guy's calling plays in Minnesota. How much of that has affected the product on the field?
Oh, that's a product of winning. After every Super Bowl, that's how the league works. It creates opportunities for other guys, better for their families. And ultimately, you have to regroup and come back to next year. So this is the first time we're ever having to do that. We're learning, but at the same time, I feel confident about our team moving forward.
You guys are down 19-3, and I thought, I'm watching this game with Brian Baldinger, who breaks you guys down. Okay, Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network. Lane Johnson joining us. And you guys not only score, go for two, and get it, but you're down 19-3, and you score on a six-play, 75-yard drive. Zach Ertz catches that touchdown pass from Carson. This is end of the first half this past weekend. Is that the drive? Is that the drive that changes the season?
Oh, definitely. I think as far as creating energy and changing the momentum of the game, that was it. And really, going into halftime, we knew that we were creating some momentum. We just needed to capitalize and came out a different team in the second half. But really came back, made some some adjustments and probably had the best half of the season so far.
Lane Johnson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Didn't Oklahoma used to play defense when you went to OU? What has happened there?
I mean, it's always been a shootout. I mean, they thought the West Virginia game was bad this year. My senior year, I think it was 62-61, something like that. I know it was in the 60s. And so it's pretty much the same scenario. It's just the way it is, man. I mean, you're throwing the ball every time. You got some of the best athletes, quarterbacks, receivers. And so you're going to put up points. But, yeah, it's definitely not an Alabama defense or anything like that. But still, when you have an offense like that, you can win a lot of games.
Yeah, it's been explained to me. We had Mike Gundy on the show, Oklahoma State's head coach yesterday, Lane Johnson of the Eagles, Oklahoma alum. Mike Gundy's explained to me in the past, he's like, look, if you want to win in our league, you're just not going to be able to stop people. Everybody spreads you out. Everybody's got skill. It sometimes hurts us in bowl games and in the college football playoff, but you have to understand that all these kids from Texas and all these quarterbacks and these coordinators, like, this is just, it's a high possession, high volume of catches and touchdowns. That's just kind of the way it is. Is that a fair assessment of why it's so difficult to compete, against SEC and maybe Big Ten schools in the bowl games, but you can't win your league if you play the way that a Michigan does, for example, in the regular season?
Yeah. I mean, there's been years where Oklahoma's had dominant defenses, and whenever they do that, they usually up there every year. But I just think football has evolved so much. It's all about speed. It's all about spreading people out, having great schemes, and really, there is no stopping. It's just trying to slow down. And those teams that have good defenses year in, year out are usually people like Alabama, Clemson, stuff like that. Yeah. And I think as far as recruiting, they're picking up. Oklahoma switched to the Jordan brand. That's helped with recruiting. I think they're on the up and up. Definitely since I left school. Totally new locker room. Everything's changed. Everything's state of the art. So that's the direction they're heading.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Lane Johnson, who joins us. Let's circle back to your Eagles. You mentioned Carson coming off an ACL injury, and I think fans think that everybody's going to be, AD. Everybody's going to be Adrian Peterson. Just bounce back and you're the same guy. The truth is, it does take time. We've seen it take time for Deshaun Watson, who suffered an ACL injury. And sometimes it's when you suffer the injury and how bad the injury was. You're with this guy every day. You've seen him since he came back and started playing the first couple weeks of the season. Is Carson 100% back? Again, you can't tell me how he truly feels, but how he looks and how it is to play with him. Do you think he's completely back?
I believe so. Just with how he's attacked the rehab process. I mean, every day this offseason. And I just feel like as the season's gone on, he's taking hits. And I feel like his body's back where he can do that, where he feels confident and really doesn't have to worry about it. But like you said, though, I mean, it was an ongoing process, going through the preseason, trying to get that right. So it was just, been a long year for him.
Yeah, he's also a guy who he dove, but he didn't really slide. He's a big old dude, right? He doesn't. Mm-hmm. And quarterbacks, they don't want to, especially young ones, they don't want to act like they're soft and slide. But, don't you at some point go grab him and go like, hey, dude, listen, we want you around here for a long time. So slide, or if we miss a block, duck. Do you have those conversations with him?
He's smart. I mean, you really don't have to tell him. I mean, he knows what everybody's saying. He knows, and that's something he's been working on. Being smart. There's times when to make that play, and there's times when to go down and live to play another one. And he's adjusting, but at the same time, he's a fiery competitor, and that's what makes you so special at times, too.
Lane Johnson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, dude, three of your last five are on the road. You get two shots at the Redskins. And that means, Colt McCoy a couple times here. Plus, you get the Cowboys in the road. You get to take on the Rams, who are puffing their chests out. What's your assessment of what the one or two things you guys need to do to make that final push, win the division, or get in the playoffs?
We got to be consistent. We're having guys coming back from injury. Our secondary decimated with injuries, so you got guys coming back healthy. That'll be huge. And really, just as far as helping the defense out, our offense needs to stay balanced. We have to be able to run the ball. That opens up everything in the game, makes everything easier. So just got to keep that momentum from this game. I saw a lot of positives and stuff to grow on and move on from there.
Lane's got a great foundation. You got to pledge it LaneJohnson, L-A-N-E Johnson, Lane Johnson, Touchdown for Children's Hospital, Philadelphia. Hey, man, it's a Tuesday of giving. You give your time so much to the community. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes of your time here on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for having me, man. Had a blast.
All right, that's Lane Johnson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The Jaguars had drafted in the top 10 of the draft, seemingly for 15 straight years. Eventually, they had to figure it out. And if you think back to last year, were they good? Yeah, they were good defensively. But they also were in a division where Marcus Mariota was hurt, Andrew Luck was hurt, Deshaun Watson was hurt. Those are the three starting quarterbacks in your division. Combine that with an easy schedule and with the AFC being a little bit soft, right? I told you guys last year, sat in this chair, and I said, Baltimore should have been the playoffs, the Chargers should have been the playoffs. Baltimore choked, plus Flacco at the start of the year was coming off of a back injury and wasn't good. So Baltimore choked, and the Chargers choked with their kicking game. That's why they started out, 0-4, right? But the Chargers were one of the top six teams in the AFC, and the Ravens were one of the top six teams in the AFC. So you take away two playoff teams, and then you got Kansas City, who, like, kind of we all knew the ceiling with Alex Smith. And you really only had three possible competitors, you know, two other possible competitors to get to a Super Bowl. Your division has no healthy starting quarterbacks. That's like almost six guaranteed wins, plus you're talented. So they end up getting to an AFC championship game against the Patriots team, which had as little talent as any that's ever reached a Super Bowl. And they lead at the half, and they lose the game. And so this year, they kind of get exposed. Here's Michael Lombardi yesterday, former general manager of the NFL, on why the Jaguars fell apart.
We lose sight of this. We think that the Jaguars are this stellar franchise that have had been a consistent model of winning, and yet in 13 they won three games, in 15 they won five games, in 16 they won three, in 17 they only won 10. They didn't dominate. Yeah, they played well in Pittsburgh and played well for three quarters in New England, but they only won 10 games. Remember, in 17 they lost to the 49ers badly in San Francisco, and this year they're 3-8. So, like, I think we've kind of gotten carried away a little bit with how good these Jaguars are. Go over their draft picks, Doug. Look at their draft picks. I mean, they trade Fowler away. They've got nothing for him. I mean, look at some of the players that they're not able to have had top picks in those rounds that haven't been able to cash in on them.
So accurate. Here's Tom Coughlin on a Jacksonville radio station.
We were a whistle.
A whistle away.
We're a whistle. We're in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay. And that's my position.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So tell me, everyone out there, what they're going to do in that circumstance about your football team.
Yeah.
You know, aren't you going to fill other pieces in and try to be as good as you can be?
Well, we all thought it made sense.
And
sure.
We tried, didn't we?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, the nature of the game got us. So we go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, the nature of the game. No, you got exposed to be exactly what we thought you were. Exactly what we thought. We had games even last year where they managed Blake Bortles. They didn't let him throw the football. They didn't want him to make the big mistake because they didn't trust Blake Bortles. I sat here week 5 of last season. I don't need God as my witness because I got John Ramos, who's got a special direct line to God. I got Ryan Music, and you guys got the tapes. Guys, did I say they should trade for Eli Manning 5 weeks in the season? Did I say that, Music? Did I say that, Ramos?
You did, in fact, say that.
Yes, you did.
And my logic wasn't that Eli Manning was great. It's that nobody thinks Blake Bortles is any good, and Manning is somebody that Tom Coughlin will trust. And that's all they needed. And they fooled themselves, and they fooled fans, and they fooled some of the media thinking, you know what, Blake Bortles had turned the corner and he was better. And like, no, he's not. The division had no healthy quarterbacks. None. They had a last-place schedule. Now you got all healthy quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's healthy. Andrew Luck's healthy. Marcus Mariota's healthy. And you have a first place schedule. And that's what happens. It's too much too soon for them to realize you're not actually playing against good teams. You're playing against teams' backup quarterbacks, and backup quarterbacks are backups for a reason.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Daniel Jeremiah joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Of course, you see DJ on the NFL Network. I hope you download his podcast, Move the Sticks. You hear him weekly on the Doug Gottlieb Show, and you'll hear him called Chargers Games locally on the Chargers Radio Network, an inferior broadcast to the one that me and Brian Baldinger did, just one or two broadcast booths over. Okay, look, I was blown away by the fact that the Cardinals just decided to quit early on in the second half. Like I hadn't seen that one before, especially with a rookie quarterback. Like, why have Josh Rosen play if you're not going to let Josh Rosen play? Just let him get back there, get rid of the ball quickly so the pass rush doesn't affect him, and let him learn a little bit. But after trailing 10-0, it was a really impressive performance by the Chargers. Should I be impressed, or was it simply a terrible team that they beat up on?
No, I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think you go one way or the other. Now, that's not a talented football team in Arizona. It's not an inspired football team. I don't think that's up for debate, but that being said, I think you watch that from a Chargers standpoint. Obviously, Rivers with what he did. But just the variety of weapons that were on display. I mean, Tyrell Williams, I don't know if he even got targeted in this game.
Nope.
Who's a good player. So you just look at the Chargers can go in so many different directions. I love it when they get Keenan Allen involved in the slot. That's a nightmare matchup for teams. And then you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, and you see Bosa looking like he's right back into form. So that's a major difference maker. Doug, when I look at that team and you get in third downs and, you know, you're doing the same thing I'm doing. You're sitting there, you're calling the game, and you look on the field and you see 54 lined up next to 99, and then you see 33 walk down like he's going to blitz. That's a lot of athletes you can throw at an offense.
Yeah. They ran it looked like a double reverse to Melvin Gordon, and yeah. My defense of it is, who knew Robert Kendiche would choose that play to play hard, right? And end up tackling. He tackled Eckler, who had already pitched the ball, and leg whips Melvin Gordon. Gordon, I would guess, doesn't play this weekend, but should they be running reverses when they're up 35-10?
Yeah, you know, look, you could tell Rivers was frustrated with it after it happened, and hindsight's 20/20, but. No, I mean, you don't need to be that creative at that point in time in the game. I think it was, 38-10, or even it was 28-10, whatever it was over. I mean, with what the Cardinals were doing. And the Chargers were able to do whatever they wanted, running the football straight ahead, throwing the ball, Rivers hadn't thrown any incompletion. So I don't know that you needed to dust that one off at that point in time in the game. But on the other hand, you can't anticipate that you're going to get an injury on it. You know, maybe a negative play, but you're not anticipating an injury.
Yep, I tend to agree with you. You know, it felt like an innocuous play, probably not needed play, and hopefully it doesn't appear to be serious, but it could affect their playoff seeding, could affect them, you know, going forward. It's a weird thing here because they got Pittsburgh, then you come home in a winnable game. What is it, Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, yep.
Yeah, and then you go to Kansas City on a Thursday night, short week, so we might not see him until Kansas City. Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Your thoughts on Pittsburgh and that loss to the Broncos, who you saw steal a game in L.A. the week before?
Yeah, you know, look, Denver's talent has been better than their record this year. They've been in some close games with really, really good football teams. And then, you know, you can say the Chargers blew the game if you want to, but it doesn't matter. They went on the road and they got a win against the Chargers, who are a good football team. And then they're right there at home and get a win over Pittsburgh. So that's good wins back-to-back. They've got a great pass rush. Philip Lindsay is a stud. He's been outstanding. So they can run the football. Case Keenum's protecting the ball better. So they're a dangerous team. Now the question is, did they do what the Chargers did last year and just dig themselves too deep of a hole to climb out of? But I don't look at that game and say, you know, at Pittsburgh just laid an egg. I would say, you know, hey, Denver's a good team, but in all these NFL games, Doug, red zone defense is so huge. I've seen it, you know, with the Chargers win some games because of red zone stops, and you saw the two turnovers inside the 5-yard line in that game. That's the difference in the ball game.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to Jacksonville. They decided to blow this thing up offensively. Like, were they just foolish? Did they not see it? I mean, we all seem to believe that Blake Bortles wasn't anything great. But they did cover up his warts for a year. How do we get to this point in Jacksonville?
Well, I think you miscalculate. You miscalculate. You try and figure it out. And the rest of us from the outside can see it because we didn't invest a top pick in him. And we said last year, for the most part, that team's winning in spite of Blake Bortles, not because of him. But obviously they made a different assessment, and it turns out was the wrong assessment. Sometimes things are obvious for a reason. He's not good enough. He's just simply not good enough. And the other part of it is, you know, that the bar was so high for them defensively, and they were outstanding last year. But to expect that many turnovers and defensive touchdowns and short fields, the gifts that just kept on coming for that offense, courtesy of that defense, you can't count on that year in and year out. And we've seen that this year.
And Fournette getting hurt, right? I mean, there's a bunch of things.
Question.
Fournette getting hurt.
Cam Robinson was big now. Cam Robinson injury was big.
Yeah.
Him at left tackle.
So you lose your left tackle. You lose your running back. And, oh, yeah, here's another thing I brought up earlier. Deshaun Watson got hurt. Andrew Luck was hurt. And Marcus Mariota was hurt. Like, that's six games playing against backups. Backups. It's a completely different league when you're playing against backup quarterbacks.
And it's also a different league when you're playing a first-place schedule.
Yes. And they played last place schedule last year. So what do you do? He signed an extension. You still got money, dead money for next year. They draft a kid. Like, what do they do?
I think they've got to draft one. And I think they're going to, you know, find themselves picking relatively high to get that accomplished if they want. Or, you know, to me, the number one option is I'd try everything I could to see if I could figure out a way to get Teddy Bridgewater in there. That would be my first choice. We'll see what happens with that whole situation. But they have to get somebody. The answer is not in their building. It's not Cody Kessler. I just hope, we'll see how he does over these next few weeks.
So
but,
why,
man, you can't talk yourself into that.
Yeah, so why would they make the Cody Kessler move? Is this to save the locker room? Is that it, that the locker room has turned on Bortles? Because if you have a new offensive coordinator, why not see how he works with Bortles?
I just think at some point in time, you can't look your team in the face and say we're trying to win football games and we're trying to get our best guys out on the field and say, you know, hey, at this point in time, I don't know if he can play is a better option than I know he can't play, you know, and that's what they've decided to do.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What do the Baltimore Ravens do? They've won two in a row, and Lamar obviously looks like the freak athlete we thought he could running the football, but it was also against two of the worst teams in the NFL. What do you do?
I think they're going to ride with it for a while here until he, proves he can't win a football game. So it might not be pretty. It might not be easy on the eyes. But, you know, I think from a defensive standpoint, with Joe Flacco just kind of being a sitting duck back there, I think that Lamar Jackson and the threat of him even running, look what they've done on the ground with Gus Edwards doing what he's doing. So just the threat of him running, plus when he does take off, it's something you've got to worry about defensively. And I don't think there's a lot of playmakers on that football team that's outside of Lamar Jackson that worry you. So I just think they stick with him until it's just the passing and the accuracy becomes such a liability that they can't afford to stay with it. But so far, that hasn't been the case.
That's the voice of Daniel Jeremiah, who joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Download his podcast, Move the Sticks. We had Lane Johnson on earlier today, and I wonder, they had a great drive at the end of the first half. They were trailing 19-3. They score. They go for two. They come back. They win the game. Does that turn the tide? Does that get them go? Because it feels like the Cowboys have figured some stuff out. The Eagles have two games against the Redskins as well as on the road against the Cowboys and on the road against the Rams. Have the Eagles figured it out, or are they still kind of wandering?
Well, they've still got holes. They've got roster holes. But when I look at the nucleus of the team and the core of that team, and I look at the way they are set up defensively up front, and I look at offensively, they get healthy on that offensive line, they can win games in the trenches, and the quarterback plays well. They've got a shot to win a lot of games. Now, they have injuries, and they've got major concerns in the back end when they play, you know, legit top-tier teams. But you look at they had three straight division games. They won the one against the Giants. Now I believe they get, the Redskins this week, followed up by the Cowboys. So they win these next two games, they're going to be in first place in the division. And
yeah.
I don't know how you can say they can't pull that off.
Yeah, I don't either. What do you make of what Baker Mayfield said? You know, I'll give you quickly kind of my take.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's wrong, okay, but one, I don't think he was talking about him personally in terms of, I think Hugh wanted a quarterback the year before, and Hugh didn't pick the offensive coordinator that ultimately led to him getting fired. But I'm not saying that Baker's even wrong, but it's not something that when you're the quarterback, you say, right? Like, there's a certain level of decorum, which it may be lame for fans to think they don't want to hear, but it's what's supposed to be said when you're the leader of a franchise. What do you take when you hear him call out Hugh Jackson the way he did?
Yeah, two thoughts on it. Number one, I think the reason for him being upset, not the reason for what he said, but the reason for him being upset, twofold. When Hugh Jackson, we all got to see it on Hard Knocks, congratulated him on winning the number two job. That was ridiculous. And then the second thing is when Hugh left and he told on his media tour, was telling people we didn't get the quarterback playing well enough, and basically kind of pinned him losing his job on Baker Mayfield. So that's where the strained relationship comes from. Now, should he have said what he said? You know, I think from an outside perspective and everybody outside that locker room and outside that organization, it looks kind of, you know, it's just petty. It's just not something you do as the leader of a franchise. You're supposed to be the CEO. You know, I say all those same things, and I hear it. But just with my own personal experience, Doug, being inside that organization, it's just kind of like something goes wrong, and it's a real weird vibe. It's a woe is me. It's kind of a victim type of atmosphere there. And he's kind of flipped it all, and he's been aggressive and cocky and brash, and just kind of, I said, it's kind of like a screw you mentality that he's operating with, and now it's gonna upset a lot of people around the league and the media and all that. But I guarantee it plays well in the locker room and in the organization.
Yeah, that his act always plays well in the locker room. That's why I tried to tell Cowherd, which is like, look, I think he's different than other guys in that he does understand how to win the locker room. I don't know, you know, long term or complete upside. If some that times that brash, braggadocious, he tries to force things. You know, it's the old. It's the old Top Gun line, right? Like his ego's writing checks that his body can't cash. There's a little bit of that to him. Let me ask you about Deshaun Watson. I think he runs. Yeah. I think he does a great job of taking over the locker room. But I watched him run around last night, and I think I love him. But this never ends well for these quarterbacks. When you watch Deshaun Watson play, what do you think?
Well, I think there's reckless moments. I think the difference between him and we'll see. It's such a small sample size. You know, people like to compare what Lamar Jackson's doing to Deshaun Watson. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is reckless all the time. First of all, he's a much better passer. That's irrefutable. But the concern, you know, is can you physically hold up? And I see him go for long stretches where he is smart and safe with taking care of himself. And then there's just a few reckless moments a game. It might be the other night, it was, you know, three or four. In the one game earlier this year, there was 10 or 11 where he was just, you know, not going out of bounds and taking huge shots on the sideline. So I think you have to constantly reinforce that. I have hope that he's going to continue to get better in that area, but it's always going to be a concern. He just, man, he's ultra competitive, and he doesn't have the build, you know, like a Cam Newton or a Josh Allen to play quite that reckless.
We've gotten to this point where when something goes wrong for the Packers, it's all Mike McCarthy's fault, right? It's all completely all his fault. And there were a couple of throws there from Aaron Rodgers where it almost seems like he doesn't love the play call. And I don't know. Like, I'm not sitting here to tell you he throws it away on purpose, but his fundamentals aren't great on some throws, and he receives no blame. We all believe we know how it's going to end, but why is it in this place when we actually watch them play?
Well, you know, I want to go to the fundamentals because that to me is interesting, because he makes some unbelievable throws under duress where he's kind of goofy-footed, he's off balance, he's fading away, both of his feet are off the ground. Nothing you would ever teach, but you kind of admire it just that he has the talent in those situations to make those type of throws. He's gotten to the point where he's so poor fundamentally when he's got a clean pocket, and he's missing some throws because of it. And I think people are scared to criticize him for it because we've seen so many unbelievable throws, and you'll see unbelievable throws even in these games. But he can't have the two or three misses that he had, which you just can't miss those throws. So he definitely deserves some of that blame. But I'll also tell you, Doug, you know, great offenses have scheme and skill. And I don't know that they have either in abundance.
Devontae Adams is pretty good, though, right?
No, he's great.
And running back, they're pretty good.
Okay, they're okay at running back. I think when you look at who that second option is in the receiver game, they've got some young players. It doesn't ultimately scare me when you're looking at that. Jimmy Graham has been a lot more name than player in the last few years. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's good. It's a good group. It's not an elite group, and I think scheme wise, it's very vanilla.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Do the Patriots have the dudes to win this thing, or at least get to the Super Bowl?
I don't ever bet against them, and just watch. I mean, the built-in advantage they've had in that crappy division for so long. I mean, it frustrates the rest of the NFL, at least the AFC. I can promise you that, because it allows them to kind of find their groove without losing football games. And now you get to the point where the games really matter, and you got to go through them. Now we'll see if Kansas City can hold on to their advantage and get home field advantage. But it's looking like New England probably at worst is going to end up being a 2 seed. And I've seen it too many times where even as a 2 seed, you'll see somebody go in there and upset Kansas City, and lo and behold, they'll be at home to get to the Super Bowl, and you never bet against them there. So they're slowly but surely figuring it out, and everybody else is chucking it all over the place. And when everybody goes one direction, Bill Belichick goes the other.
Yep, and Sony Michel being healthy at running back gives him a chance to be a power run game, which shortens the game and puts the ball in their quarterback's hands at the end of a game, which seems to have worked out for them. For the last,
the other thing, Doug, is just look. When we get into these big games, it all comes down to red zone production. Can you stop people in the red zone, and can you convert in the red zone? And even though he's not the same guy he was, Gronk is still the best red zone weapon. Brady's probably the best red zone decision maker. And Bill Belichick has proven over a lifetime he's the best defensive coordinator in the red zone.
Great stuff, Daniel Jeremiah, DJ. Awesome stuff. Move the Sticks is the podcast. Thanks, DJ.